Well, if you can please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This morning we're going to be continuing our mini-series on some of the great hymns of the faith, both ancient and modern. And last time we looked at the two favorite hymns of Amazing Grace and In Christ Alone. And there we learned that the grace that saved us is the same grace that sustains us. And it's all based, we're all standing on the grace, on the solid rock of Christ alone. So today we're going to dig a little bit deeper into that foundation. But I want to begin by asking you just to picture something with me. Imagine two houses. The first house is beautiful. It's brightly painted. It has large windows. It has a grand entrance. It's the kind of house that you'd see on the front cover of magazines. Or on those TV shows where you say, oh, I'll never afford a house like that. It's just this perfect grand house. But what you don't see is that it's built on loose, shifting sand. But now imagine a second house. This one isn't flashy by any means. It's rather small. It's rather simple. The paint is fading and falling off in places. The windows are small and it looks rather old-fashioned. Maybe a house that may not appeal to you, but below the surface, this one is built on solid bedrock. Now, if it is a day like today, brilliant sunshine and everything is bright, which house would be the most appealing? The grand house, hey? It looks beautiful. It doesn't need paint. Everything is perfect. You can just move right in. But what if it was a day of rain like we've had in the last few weeks? You know, that heavy torrential downpour and the sand starts shifting. The waters start rising. And you start to see, you know, that not so attractive house is standing firm, but the other one, well, that looks a little bit shaky. Now which house would be more appealing? The less attractive one, right? Well, this is because, as we all know, it's not the beauty of the house that matters in a storm, but the strength of its foundation. And all of us here are building our own houses in one way or another. The houses of our lives. Some of us maybe are past the building stage and we are maintaining. We all have our own homes, our own houses, our lives that we are building. You're building your hopes, your dreams, your identity, and your security. But every single one, whether you're building it or maintaining it, is built on some form of foundation. And so this morning we're going to ask an important question that all of us needs to answer. What is your house built on? What is your foundation? And the two hymns that we're going to be looking at this morning answer that exact question. The first hymn is the one we've just sung, The Solid Rock, or My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And the second one is a more modern one, the one we sang just before it, Christ Our Hope in Life and Death. The first one, it was written around 1834, by a layman. And the other one was written by professional hymn writers in 2020. But both of them are singing the same truth. They're singing that there's only one foundation that will hold, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. So let's read our text together, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. Because this is an important text that fits in with both of these hymns. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Just so far this morning. I'm sure you all know that the world offers us thousands of foundations for people to build on. Thousands of places for you to place your hope. such as money and prosperity, success and fulfilled dreams. It offers you achievements and things like academics and sports and business, a comfortable lifestyle or an entertaining or enjoyable lifestyle. But folks, every single one of those things and anything else that the world may offer will inevitably fail. Because as Peter tells us here, God has provided only one sure foundation, one rock, one hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. And this is the same truth that the church has been singing for centuries, hence the two hymns that we are looking at this morning. The first one, The Solid Rock, was written by Edward Moat, who was born in London in 1797. His parents ran a pub and they had no interest in anything spiritual. In fact, for them, the only spirit they were interested in was that which came out of a bottle. And so Moat grew up in a home where there was no Bible reading, there was no prayer. Going to church on a Sunday was just something that wasn't done. And he later said that the first 16 years of his life were spent in the worst possible manner. But when he was 16, he went to go and hear a preacher. And as a result of that, he was subsequently saved. And Moat then spent the rest of his life living on that foundation that saved him, Jesus Christ. Now, he did become a pastor late in life, but before that, he lived as a cabinet maker, working with his hands. And it was during one of those ordinary days as a cabinet maker, he was walking to work in 1834, that these words came to him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. And so he took a scrap of paper out of his pocket and he just wrote those words down as they came to him, put them back in his pocket, and he just carried on with his day as normal, as a cabinet maker. Later that week, he went to visit a friend whose wife was dying. And she asked him, do you have a hymn that we could sing together? He took that scrap of paper out of his pocket and they sang that hymn for the first time. And that hymn has been comforting people for almost 200 years. Maybe some of you here, maybe this is one of your favorite hymns. I remember when I was at Bible college, Dr. Rex Matthey quoted this hymn more than any other hymn in class. Now fast forward to 2020, and the world is in the middle of a pandemic. It's confusion, it's uncertainty, things are unstable. Yet it's during this time that people like Keith Getty, Matt Boswell, and Matt Papa came together to write a hymn that answers the first question that we find in the Heidelberg Catechism. And that question asks, what is your only comfort in life and death? And so based on that and based on the answer, they wrote these words. What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone. Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to him belong. Different century, different circumstances, but the same truth. Christ alone. That is their foundation. And this is a truth that goes all the way back to the Bible, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we read earlier, which in a sense forms the foundation of both of these hymns. It's a passage that comes in a sense with like clear instructions on how we are to build our lives, if we are to have any hope in this life and in the life to come. You can actually say that these verses are the blueprint of hope. So here's our theme for this morning. The hope that lasts is built on the only foundation that will never fail, Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. The hope that lasts is built on the only foundation that will never fail, Jesus Christ. Now, before we go into the text itself, I just want to point out something that our first hymn does, The Solid Rock. It doesn't just tell you what to build on, it also tells you what not to build on. Edward Moat said, he said, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. The second half is what you must build on. The first half is what you must not build on. The sweetest frame, but what is this sweetest frame? Well, it's anything that's not Jesus. It's anything that looks good, sounds good, feels good, but isn't the rock. Rather, it's sinking sand that is dressed to look like solid ground. Because here's what you need to understand. Not all sinking sand looks like sinking sand. A colleague of mine experienced this in the real life this last holiday. So he was telling me this week about this time when you're in the Kruger Park, just in December. And they decided to go out on a drive, and they were on one of these dirt roads, and they're approaching what was just like this little flow of water going across the road, only about half a meter wide or so. And it was a kind of flow of water that you and I would probably say, ach, let's just go, let's just put foot and get across it, and not think twice. But what he didn't realize, as he was approaching it, his car started to sink into the sand. And he hadn't even reached the water yet. And eventually he was stuck. And it was about half a tire up into of the car. And this was a major 4x4. And so for the next 45 minutes, he was there trying to dig the car out from the soil. Now imagine, in the middle of the Kruger Park, on a dirt road, back to the veld, trying to dig out. I hope his life insurance was paid up. And even his kids in the car was starting to go ballistic. But he also described that while he was there trying to dig the water up, he sunk to about knee deep in the sand. And he could even feel the water and around about his ankles, just like flowing, trickling past his ankles. That water underneath was destabilizing everything above. It had turned what looked like normal ground into sinking sand. Well, that's what the sweetest frame is like. It looks solid. It looks good. It looks like something you can build something upon, a perfectly fine foundation. But then the storm comes and the waters rise, and you find very quickly what you're really standing on. So what does this sinking sand look like in our lives? Well, it looks, there's many ways I could describe it. I'm just going to identify three for you this morning. And I'm not talking about people out there in the world. I'm talking about people in the church. Because remember, the book of Corinthians was written to believers. It was written to the church. And so we need to make sure that we as believers don't build upon these foundations. So these are foundations that we are all at risk of building on. So I'm making this about us. The first is the sand of feelings. This is basing your security, your assurance, your standing on your standing with God on how you feel. It's building your hope on things like spiritual experiences, emotional highs, and those warm, fuzzy feelings of feeling close to God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against emotions and feelings. God has created us as emotional beings, and it's good to feel close to God. But the problem is if your hope is built on feelings alone, you're on sinking sand. Because feelings come and go. Feelings change with the weather. They change with your hormones. They change with whether you had a good night's sleep last night. They change with whether you had your cup of coffee this morning or not. You cannot build your eternal security and hope on something that is unstable as your emotions. That is sinking sand. The second one is the sand of performance. This is the sand that says, well, I'm okay with God. I'm doing pretty well. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm serving in the church. I'm giving money. I'm doing more or better than everyone else in the church. But here's the problem. That's not the gospel. That's works righteousness. That's trusting in your own obedience instead of trusting in Christ's obedience. It's building on the sand of your performance and not building on the rock of Christ's performance. Isaiah 64 verse 6 reminds us that our righteous deeds are like filthy rags, which means your best day is still not good enough. The best act that you perform, your greatest obedience is still stained with sin, no matter how noble it might be. Folks, you cannot stand before a holy God based on your performance. That's sinking sand. And the third one I want to describe is the sand of circumstances. This is the one that says, well, I'm good because my life is going well. I have a good job. I have a nice house. I've got a great car. I've got a happy, healthy family. I've got money in the bank so I can go on fancy holidays, eat at fancy restaurants. Everything is perfectly under control. Now, it's not wrong to have any of those things. They're all gifts from God, and we ought to be thankful for them. But if those things are your foundation, If those things are where you find your security and what you're putting your trust and hope in, then you're on sinking sand. The second hymn was written during 2020. And if 2020 taught us anything, is that life circumstances can change overnight. Jobs can be lost. Health can fail. Relationships break. Economies crash. And when that happens, if your hope is built on those things, then hope goes down with the ship. Remember the Titanic? They said, no, this thing is unsinkable. And so after they hit the iceberg, they carried on partying and playing their instruments and drinking, but their hopes were resting on a ship that was sinking. The same with our circumstances. You cannot build your life on your circumstances. That's sinking sand. Now, I could go on and describe a whole lot of more other foundations that the world offers, but the end result of every single one is still the same. That is why Edward Mote wrote in his hymn, "All other ground is sinking sand." Not some, not most, all. Everything that is not Christ is sinking sand. Everything that is not the gospel is unstable. Everything that does not have the death and resurrection of Jesus as its foundation is sufficient. And the reason every other ground is sinking sand is because none of them can do what needs to be done. None of those foundations can pay for your sin. None of those foundations can satisfy God's justice or bridge the gap between the holy God and sinful men. None of those foundations can save you, keep you, or bring you home. It's all sinking sand. Which brings us to what Paul writes in our text. Have a look at verses 10 and 11. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, I want to draw your attention specifically to verse 11 because it's an important verse. Here, Paul is making an absolute, uncompromising, exclusive declaration. He says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Here, Paul is describing the foundation that he is laying, that he's referring to in verse 10, that he is laying. But notice how he puts it. He doesn't say, there are many good foundations, but Jesus is the best. He's not saying, here's a foundation that works for me. You might want to try it. It might work for you, or you might find another foundation. He doesn't say, let me give you a foundation that you can put next to your foundations or shore up your foundations just in case yours fail. No, he says, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Folks, Jesus is not just a foundation. He is the foundation. Singular. Exclusive. There is no other. And notice that this foundation has already been laid because Paul says that which is laid. Past tense. It's done. It's established. You don't create the foundation. Somebody else in the world doesn't create the foundation. Oh, here's a nice new idea to build our life upon. You don't contribute to the foundation or help God to lay it. God has already laid it. In eternity past, He planned it. In human history, God accomplished it through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. God laid the only foundation that can bear the weight of sinful souls for eternity. So your job is not to lay the foundation. As we'll see, your job is actually to build upon it. But what is this foundation? We say it's Christ, but what exactly is it? What is this rock that we are standing on? Well, Edward Mote told us in the very first line of his hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. There it is. There's your foundation. Christ's blood and righteousness. But let's look at each aspect of this individually. Let's first look at his blood. Well, that's a direct reference to the cross. It's referring to the substitutionary death of Jesus where he bore the wrath in your place, where he paid your debt, where he satisfied the justice that was owed to God on your behalf. Folks, your hope is not built on your blood. It's not built on your sacrifice or your suffering. It is built on Christ's blood, suffering, and sacrifice. And we know that God accepted the sacrifice because he then raised Jesus from the dead. And he is now seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. What foundation does that? What other foundation of the world is interceding for you? What other foundation of the world has paid the price for you? None. And second part of the foundation is his righteousness. Well, that's the perfect life of obedience that Jesus lived while he walked on this earth. A perfect life that you and I could never live. A perfection that we could never attain, yet Jesus displayed and is still displaying while he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And then through faith, that righteousness is credited to our accounts as if it were our own. So if you're in Christ, when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin, he sees Christ's righteousness covering your sin. When he judges you, he doesn't judge you based on what you've done, he judges you based on what Christ has done. So church, if you don't get anything else this morning, get this. Your standing before God is not based on you. It's based on Christ. It's not based on your feelings. It's not based on your performance or your circumstances or on your achievements or your effort or your commitments. It's based on Christ alone. And that's what the modern hymn is declaring with the words, "What is our hope in life or death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to him belong." Not partly Christ and partly me. Not mostly Christ and I contribute this little bit. Not Christ plus my works or Christ plus my goodness. It's not Christ plus anything. It is Christ alone. And he's not just our hope for our salvation. He's our hope for everything. The hymn asks, "Who holds our days within his hands?" The answer, Christ alone. What will keep us to the end? Christ alone. Who holds our faith when fears arise? Christ alone. Who stands above the stormy trial? Come on, everybody, together. Christ alone. Folks, Christ is the solid rock, and he is the only foundation that will never fail. All other ground is sinking sand. So here's the question that you need to answer for yourself. Are you standing on the rock, or are you standing on the sinking sand? Now, just to help you, because sometimes we can deceive ourselves and we think we're standing on the rock. So I'm going to ask you a couple of follow-up questions. When pressures come, what do you instinctively run to first for security? When fear grips your heart, what do you grab hold onto first for comfort? When guilt crushes your soul, what do you turn to first for peace? When circumstances fall apart, where do you stand for hope? If you answered honestly and your answer is anything but Christ and his finished work, in any one of those questions, you may be standing on sinking sand. But if your answer is, in the words of Edward Mote, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness," then you are standing on the rock. But once you're on that foundation of Jesus Christ, there's another question you have to answer. What are you building? I have my foundation. I'm standing on this firm foundation. What am I building? Because Paul doesn't just talk about the foundation. He also talks about the construction that happens after that. Look at verses 12 through 15. "Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." Here Paul is talking about that day when all of our works will be judged before Christ. This is a judgment that we're all going to face. This is the day then what you build in this life will be tested by fire. It's about what you do with the time, with the resources, with the gifts, and with the opportunities that God has given you. And Paul says there are two kinds of building materials here. There are the valuable materials, the gold, the silver, the precious stones. And then there are the worthless materials, the wood, the hay, and the straw. What's the difference between the two? Well, gold, silver, and precious stones represent things that are done for the glory of God in obedience to His word, empowered by His Spirit, and have eternal value. Things that won't be burned up in the fire, but instead will be improved and glow better because of the fire. But wood, hay, and straw, they represent the things done for self-glory, in pursuit of approval of man, done in your own strength, and have no eternal value. And you know what happens with wood, hay, and straw when you put a bit of fire underneath? They're destroyed. Because you see, it's possible to be on the right foundation, yet still be building the wrong building. It's possible to be saved and waste your life and live for yourself. And so Paul says, there's coming a day when fire will test the quality of what you build. And if you build with the precious stones, gold, and silver, you'll receive a reward. But if you build with wood, hay, and straw, well, you will suffer loss. But there's something you need to notice here, and this is very important, that even if your work is burnt up, verse 15 says he will be saved, he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And what this means here is that your salvation does not depend on the quality of your building. Rather, it depends entirely on the foundation. Because if you're on the rock of Christ, you're saved and will remain saved. Even if what you build is worthless, even if what it's built is out of wood, hay, and straw, he says here that you will be saved as through fire. You're not going to, you're on the solid rock, you're on the foundation. Even if everything you build up is burned, you will still be saved. And this is why Paul can say in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. And that word there for rubbish is the word we would use for excrement. Feces. He's using the worst possible word. And if you think about what Paul had accomplished in his life, he studied under a man like Gamaliel. That's like saying the Roman Catholic Church, they studied under the Pope. He was the man to study under. He was zealous. He had achieved so many things. He had this bloodline that was enviable of everybody. You know, he could have had a degree on the wall which said he got 100% for everything. And Paul says it's worth nothing. It's worth human excrement. But why, Paul? How can you say something like this? He carries on. He says, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. As far as Paul was concerned, all of those accomplishments were dung compared to knowing Christ. You can have all of those accomplishments. You can build on all those human foundations, but if you don't have Christ, it's worthless. And even if you are on that foundation and you're striving for all of those things instead of knowing Christ and knowing Him more and getting closer to Him, they're just going to be burned up in the fire. The security we have is in Christ. And this is what both of our hymns celebrate. Mote writes, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. And then the more modern one declares the same truth. It goes, unto the grave, what will we sing? Christ he lives, Christ he lives. And what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with him. Not everlasting life with my Fenta trailer, with everything I've accomplished in life brought with me. Sorry, folks, that Fenta trailer is not going with you. They can bury it in the grave with you, but it's just going to decay. It's Christ. The reward of heaven is not something we earn by what we build. It's secured by the foundation that God has already laid. But here's the thing, folks. Just because that foundation holds, it does not mean that it does not matter what you build. It matters, and it matters greatly. You know, I'm sure none of you want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and watch everything you spent your life building go up in smoke. But that's what will happen if everything you build is merely based on the foundations of this world. If it's purely academic or business, your name and lights, or a legacy of worldly achievements. You don't want to be saved through fire with nothing to show for this life but ashes. You want to build something that lasts. Therefore, invest your life in things that have eternal benefits, of eternal value. So let me ask you this morning, what are you building your life with? Are you building with gold, silver, and precious stones that not only withstand the fire, but improve through fire? Or are you building with wood, hay, and straw? And those things are built upon selfish ambition, worldly pursuits, and temporary pleasures that are here today and gone tomorrow. But I have one more question for you. Why are you building? Because there's a truth that you may not realize. If you're truly on the foundation of Christ, if you truly understand that your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, then that foundation will not only determine what you build, but why you build it. Because when you know that you are secure in Christ and your standing before God is based on His righteousness and not yours, it frees you up to live for His glory and not your own. It changes your perspective. You realize it's not about me. It's for Him and His glory. Therefore, I'm going to express my thanksgiving for Him through what I do, through what I build. It frees you to serve sacrificially and with thanksgiving instead of living selfishly. It frees you to invest in eternity instead of living for the moment. The foundation changes the motivation behind everything that you do. So let me bring all of this together and bring this to a close. We've seen that all other ground is sinking sand, and that compared to Christ, who is the solid rock, the one and only sure foundation, that is what has been laid. We've seen that on that foundation we're called to build lives of eternal value. Christ, our hope in life and death, was written to answer the first question of the Heidelberg Catechism: what is your only comfort in life and death? And here's the answer that the Catechism provides: that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our foundation. That's our hope. We belong to Christ. It's not about depending on yourself or trusting in your feelings, building on your performance, or hoping in your circumstances. It's about belonging to Christ and hoping in Him. And if you're in Christ, if you're on that foundation, then nothing can move you or pluck you from His hand. Not your failures, not your doubts, not your fears or your weaknesses, not your sins, not your circumstances, not even death or Satan himself. Nothing. Because you're standing on the foundation that will never fail. Edward Mote understood this when he wrote his hymn, Walking to Work, that day in 1834. But so too did Getty, Boswell, and Popo as they were writing in the midst of a pandemic in 2020. The same truth, the same foundation, and the same Christ. So I want to finish off with a challenge this morning. I want to challenge you to answer the following questions honestly before God. As you go through this week, this is the perfect time. It's the beginning of a new year. As you go through this week, spend a couple of moments each day just considering your day, and then answer these following questions honestly about your life. Three main questions. First, what was your foundation during the day? If I had to ask you everything that you built that day, what was that built on? What were you trusting for your security? Where was your hope? What were you standing on? How would you answer that question? Would you say, this day, today, I was standing on Christ alone? Or would you say it was Christ plus something else? Would you say I went to something else before I realized and came back to Christ? Or was Christ not even in the picture? Because if it's not Christ alone, it's not Christ at all. It's sinking sand. And the second question I want to challenge you to answer at the end of the day is to ask yourself, what was I building today? And what was I building with? If you're on the foundation of Christ, what are you doing with your life? Are you building with gold, silver, and precious stones that are of eternal value? Or are you building with wood, hay, and straw that will burn up? Are you investing your time in the Word of God? Or are you wasting your time on mindless entertainment? Are you using your resources to advance the kingdom? Or are you spending it all on yourself? Are you using your gifts to serve the church? Or are you living for your own comfort and convenience? What are you building? And will it survive the fire? And then the third question. You're going to go through the day. You're going to experience challenges and difficulties during the day. So here's a question you need to ask yourself at the end of the day. As I went through those things, where was my comfort? When life gets hard, where do you turn for comfort? When death stares you in the face, where do you turn to for peace? The hymn asks, what is our hope in life and death? And the answer is Christ alone, Christ alone. Is that your hope? Is that your comfort? Is that where you run to instead of everything else that will just fail you? Now, if you're sitting here this morning and you realize that you're not on the rock but on sinking sand, then I have good news for you. The rock is there waiting for you. It's available to you. The foundation was laid when Christ died for your sins and rose again from the dead. And he's standing before you now, offering you his righteousness as a free gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to work for it. You just need to receive it by faith. So turn from your sinking sand before you get sunk so deep that you can't get out of it again. Turn from trusting in and serving yourself and put your hope in Christ alone. This is your moment to repent. And for those of you who are standing on Christ, we're going to have communion in a moment. Well, this is a perfect moment for you to rejoice and in a sense to sing hallelujah, Christ, our hope in life and death. And it's a perfect moment to declare with confidence, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let us pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, yes, you are our solid rock. We go through this life and we're faced with so many challenges. We're faced with so many temptations. We go through difficulties. We go through struggles. And so often to find hope and peace and comfort, we cling to the wrong things. We think we'll find hope in a bottle, in drugs, in work, in entertainment, in other people, in activities, even in a cup of coffee. But Lord, all of those things, is even though we may get some temporary hope, it's not real hope because it's not lasting hope. The real hope is in you, Lord Jesus. The hope that the world offers is not hope that can save. It is not hope that can bring us home to you. It is not hope that will reconcile us to the Father. It's only the hope that we have in the solid rock of Christ alone that can do that. Lord, help us to declare. Help us to live these words of this 200-year-old hymn. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Help us, Lord, to stand on you, we pray. Amen.